What is... Dax, are you...
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker? On all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all. So we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge! Trucks up 3.9%!
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
Hey, football fans, are you obsessed with the game?
Oh, yeah.
Do you find yourself looking for breakdowns from every angle? For those who can't get enough, subscribe to Brian Baldinger's podcast, The Best Football Show, where he discusses the top teams and players from around the league each week.
That's what I watched this week, a dominant performance.
New episodes drop every weekday, including Trench Talk Tuesdays with former NFL lineman Mark Schlereth. Make sure to subscribe to The Best Football Show on the Odyssey app or wherever you find your podcasts.
Live from the Mokarem Injury Lawyers Studios, Sports Radio 610 presents Payne and Pendergast.
All right, if you're into weird headlines, the one that got pushed to my phone yesterday afternoon, Deontay Johnson, well, first of all, just merely Deontay Johnson picked up off waivers was a weird headline. I'm like, really? He's getting a fifth opportunity this year?
Well, and immediately I thought, all right, well, is this somebody the Texans are going to see in the playoffs?
Yes.
And what are the rules on this anyway? I don't quite know.
It could be the Bills because he was on the Ravens this year. You know, like...
Somebody the Texans might see in the playoffs.
I'm saying the Bills might pick him up because they play the Ravens this week.
Right. But the rules are you pick him up off of waivers. You're not allowed to play him in the playoffs.
Right.
So that's the first thing.
Right.
So don't worry, everybody. We're not Deontay Johnson's formidable and impressive understanding of the Texans playbook will not be used against us.
Right.
They haven't captured a bunch of our Apache helicopters.
Nope.
And then figured out how to fly them. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. So it was a weird headline to begin with, just because. Who's picking him? Right, he can't play. The Ravens are picking him up. That made the headline even weirder because they were one of the teams that waived him. They were the team that waived him a few weeks ago. You dig a little deeper on this, and some might say, like, okay, well, this is what makes the Ravens the Ravens. You know, they're playing chess here. You know, they're bringing him in. They're signing him, basically, or they're picking him back up. So that if and when he leaves to go somewhere in free agency next year, and this is very wishful thinking on behalf of the Ravens, that they'd get a compensatory pick for him. You know, that they, and I don't think he's going to sign a big enough deal to where it's a third rounder, which is the biggest compensatory pick you can get.
Right.
Probably a sixth.
Oh, definitely didn't.
Yeah. He ain't getting, 4 years, $100 million or anything like that.
But the Ravens are really, really good at picking up compensatory picks.
Yeah.
Adding them up over time. They're awesome at it.
So if he signs somewhere, you know, even for a minimum level deal and the compensatory formula works out, they can pick up a day three pick for him, maybe, if a team wants him. I think that's questionable to begin with. I think the question that Texan fans would have would be like, well, why didn't you just keep him, Texans, and get a compensatory pick for him when he left? I think there's two answers to that. I think one is they just don't want him in the building. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like there would be too many questions about, like, why'd you pick him up if you're just going to make him inactive every week? And number two, and I think this is the big one, they're a banged up football team. They need the roster spot right now. You know, like if he's not going to get on the field and they don't want him in the building, they don't want to be operating in the playoffs with a 52-man roster. Like they need guys. The Ravens have been a remarkably healthy team this year. You know, like their guys that are out and inactive every week are guys that are actually healthy scratches at this stage of the season. The Texans' inactive list is by and large guys that are super banged up or literally unable to play in the football game, you know?
Yeah.
So I think that's why.
That's neither here nor there. I guess the real question just becomes, all right, what is this Texans receiving core? And, Deontay Johnson isn't the X factor that I was hoping that he could be. It really comes down to, man, we saw Xavier Hutchinson with a big time. It wasn't like it was a hard catch or anything. It was wide open, but a big time moment in that game.
Yeah.
John Metchie had opportunities. And on that 99-yard touchdown drive, he was an integral part of that. But is there anything that could click in John Metchie to where all of a sudden he's got good hands between between last week and this week.
Did he come into the league with bad hands? Like, he was drafted in the second round.
He's had issues with drops and everything the entire time he's been here.
Right.
So, I don't know. Whatever the issue is and whatever the knock on him was at Alabama or anything else, it's been an issue.
Yeah.
And he's past the point where, you know, his ordeal and his recovery from cancer was obviously a very justifiable excuse for a lot of underperformance early on. I mean, in the game the other day, he's getting open. He's physically doing it. He's just got to hold on to the football.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know what the answer is to it, Seth, except that they don't have a choice. You know,
right.
They've got a role with Nico Collins, who is a clear-cut number one wide receiver, and then John Metchie, Xavier Hutchinson, and Robert Woods, who I don't think would crack the top three or four on Kansas City. You know, DeAndre Hopkins is better than those guys. Xavier Worthy is better than those guys, or at least more dangerous. Hollywood Brown, more dangerous for sure, and probably better than those guys. You know, and then you add in that their tight end, even aging, is light years better than what the Texans are trotting out there at tight end.
Oh, goodness.
You know what I mean?
Especially in the playoffs. Like, right. Given that we've already seen Kelsey, whose year wasn't as bad as I feel like it's being framed by a lot of people.
Like 90 catches.
I know. Yeah, I know. It's
it's wild.
Again, the narratives that are set like in the first half of the season, they tend to stick the entire time through. And I'm like trying to jog my memory on things, and I'm going through. It's like, oh yeah, he had 9 catches in this game. He had 8 in this one. I think that it's funny with the Texans because the offense never really clicked and gelled the entire time, even when you had 3 really good wide receivers on the roster. You almost forget that, oh yeah, they were struggling, but now they also don't have 2 of the top 3 receivers with whom they were struggling. And after Stephon Diggs got injured, the offense really started to nosedive.
Yeah.
So, but because the offense was never quite where you wanted it to be, it almost doesn't feel like that you're that damaged right now, because you didn't fall from that lofty a perch. And yet, yeah, it's a factor when you just don't have the speed of Tank Dell and the route running savvy of Stephon Diggs out there.
They've got to be able to run the football in this game. It's non-negotiable. They have to be able to competently run the football in this game to open things up for these guys. Like, Nico's the only guy they have right now that can really get open and beat guys in front of him. You know what
I mean? And especially also, I think, using Mixon as a wide receiver, or as a receiver, and a Gumbawale as a receiver, however you come by it. One of the things they did well last week was, okay, they utilized their short game. They did a lot of stuff. They've done it in the last couple weeks where you feel like, okay, yeah, where was this earlier in the year? Why did it? Yeah, sure. Have Nico Collins attack every area of the field, not just screens, as him getting involved in the short game. That was good. You're doing it against a very good defense, and a defense that's been more battle-tested in the playoffs than the Ravens guys you were seeing last week. So, or at least, I guess, more battle-proven in the playoffs. And but I think Mixon as a receiver, Damian Pierce perhaps as a guy that can come in and give Mixon a blow as a runner. Because that was one of the things Slowik said yesterday. It was frustrating. You know, he said, yeah, Mixon, yeah, he's really good as a receiver. We kind of moved away from it because we wanted to keep him fresh as a runner. And there is a part of me that wondered, like, okay, yeah, but the run game really wasn't working.
No.
And maybe it could have been helped out by using Mixon as a receiver a little bit more.
Yeah.
But, or, hey, you know, when I asked Casario how come Damian, if he had this in him, why weren't they able to get him the ball throughout the season? Nick said that, well, because Mixon's really good, so you're going to have Mixon out there. All right, but the offense sucked. So if it meant Damian or somebody else getting more carries, but then you could loosen Mixon up and use him more as a receiver at times, I would have preferred that. I would have preferred good offense instead of at times giving Mixon the ball so he could run into a brick wall against teams like the Lions over and over and over again.
Yeah, I just don't think this has been an offense this season. I heard the same cut you did. We'll play it in the next segment. Bobby Slowik said it in his press conference yesterday. And my feeling is, like, you're not an offense that can be choosy about how you go about moving the football down the field.
I was like, yeah, like, well, we got to get Mixon his touches in the run game even when we're doing nothing with those touches in the run game.
Yeah, it made no sense.
Just go ahead. Let him explore the space a little bit. Get him out there.
Yeah, it made no sense.
He's like a border collie. You can't keep him pent up behind the line of scrimmage all day long. You got to let him go run in an open field.
That's right.
Throw a frisbee to him.
That's right. Tennis ball, something.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
So it's a new year, 2025, and you're thinking, how am I going to make this year different? How am I going to build something for myself? But where do I start? Shopify is how you're going to make it happen, and here's how. Shopify makes it simple to create your brand, open for business, and get your first sale. The best time to start your new business is right now. Get your store up and running easily with thousands of customizable templates, no coding or design skills required. All you need to do is drag and drop. Their powerful social media tools let you connect all your channels and create shoppable posts and help you sell everywhere people scroll. What happens if you don't act now? Will you regret it? What if someone beats you to the idea? Don't kick yourself when you hear this again in a year because you didn't do anything now. With Shopify, your first sale is closer than you think. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to start selling with Shopify today. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Text message, how does Noah Brown sound right now? He sounds injured. I get what you're saying. Like, Noah Brown is a receiver that actually had a couple big games for the Texans last year when they were undermanned at receiver. And he's done some good things for Washington this year. But like always, Noah Brown is on injured reserve at the end of the year. Like,
that's how Noah Brown sounds. He's unavailable because of injury.
Yeah, that's how he sounds. All right, Payne and Pendergast with you. So what are the same talking heads that disrespected the Texans last week? Have they come around on the Texans now? Is anybody providing any fuel for a cigar party in the Kansas City, in the visitors' locker room in Arrowhead Stadium after the game on Saturday? Rex Ryan was the chief perpetrator amongst national voices last week. The Rex Ryan bye week pack is what Mixon was smoking. What does Rex Ryan think about the Texans this week?
Well, it's certainly not a bye week, is it? Oh, my goodness. I think Houston has a chance here, and because I'm not going to ignore what I just saw. I'm not going to ignore it. That pass rush was absolutely ferocious, and it wasn't just against the five offensive linemen. They kept chipping. You know, your superstar right tackle for the Chargers that I can't stand is overrated as hell. But anyway, they couldn't block them. They could not block them. And so to me, yes, that's a problem. What's the Achilles heel for Kansas City's offense? Pass protection. This team, and I get it. I know they beat them by 8 points in the regular season in a game. I get it. But they look different. For some reason, something clicked to that football team, and they look different.
Azeez Alshire is one of the reasons they clicked. And this is where it's critical to have Azeez Alshire out there versus Pat Mahomes. Yes, the Texans got a really good pass rush in terms of winning their one-on-one matchups in the game versus the Chiefs a few weeks ago. They just couldn't get Mahomes on the ground. And then Mahomes does what he does, which is it's not when he scrambles. When he scrambles, when he's running towards the perimeter, that's where he's really dangerous in the pass game. The scary thing about him as a runner is when he just hits it right up the middle. Because, as D'Amico pointed out, it's because he's got yardage instantaneously there. It's not dragging things out. Guys don't have time to rally to him if they're out of position. He's getting yardage immediately. Azeez Alshire, is smart, B, can run and is a better matchup, you know, in the open field or anticipating Mahomes coming up to the line of scrimmage. But also C, Mahomes saw what happened to Trevor Lawrence. I think Mahomes is going to make business decisions, wisely so, not in a cowardly fashion, but the menacing presence of number zero, which is what everybody calls him because it kind of, because A, I don't think they know how to pronounce his last name, and B, it shows up. You're like, well, that zero is everywhere. I keep seeing that zero on the sidelines and then in coverage and then up in the defensive backfield. I think just the psychological menace, the threat of Aziz right there, hopefully dampens Mahomes' ability to run a little bit.
Somebody texted in earlier about the Texans. Oh, here it is. The Texans can win against the Chiefs if Aziz works his magic, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, but we can't lose him for the game, though. We got to be
know.
Sure
that's
we don't lose him for
that's, that's a pretty good trade-off. Aziz gets ejected and Mahomes gets, you know.
Oh, well, if that were the case.
I think
okay.
That's his magic they're referring to.
Sean, in this age of sound bites
the old
and the
Trevor
internet,
Lawrence,
I'm not even going to.
Pixie dust.
I'm not going there, man. Okay. Not going there. I think, though, that what if Mahomes starts trying to, like, bait him? Like, try to, like.
He you know, will.
Lure him into an illegal.
He
into
will.
An illegal
he's
hit or
the.
Something.
He's
yeah.
the. He. I was most angry after that whole Aziz Trevor Lawrence thing at Patrick Mahomes. Because of how he uses the rules to his advantage and how he fakes the slide and then just starts taking off and he turns around. He's like, ha ha, gotcha. I don't like that. I don't like using a rule that's used to protect you.
Right.
You know, like you're taking advantage of it.
Yeah, that's a tough one too because you just can't. But you can't mess with. It's not like you can't make a. You can't have like a statement or a protest by hitting him, even though he faked the slide. If it means that you're ejected again and gone for the playoffs.
And gone for the playoffs. Like who? If Aziz, in all seriousness, like if Aziz has another episode like that, and especially if it's against Mahomes, who knows what the punishment is? You know, forget about the rest of the playoffs. You're probably starting the regular season without him next year.
That would be, boy, if you want to fuel conspiracy theories and everything, if Mahomes got away with faking a slide and Aziz had to pull off and then Mahomes takes off, okay, then now I'm starting to get a feel for why they haven't made it illegal necessarily.
Yeah. No wonder they keep tabling this fake slide that everybody wants to get legislated out of the game.
College has done it, but the NFL seems like, oh, no.
That's right.
It was just, yeah.
If you're looking for somebody to direct your hatred towards, I guess so far this week, maybe Teddy Bruschi?
They were rushing a statue in Herbert that was sitting there the whole time. This is Patrick Mahomes we're talking about. He's going to convert on every third and three where you got man coverage and those guys are rushing up the field trying to get Mahomes. He'll get out of there. That's going to be the difference. Herbert had 0 yards rushing. He did not use his legs at all. This is a different beast at quarterback.
All right. Okay. For one, yes. It's a different beast at quarterback. Nobody's going to compare Herbert to Pat Mahomes. But all right. Listen, Bruschi, you're old enough now, man. You got to start being careful about just labeling the white guy as a statue. All right. Herbert can freaking run. And I think part of the problem now, maybe it means he was playing like a statue. Herbert can run. We know that. That's one of the scary things about him is he's like Roethlisberger sized, but way more athletic or faster than Roethlisberger. I think that was a really good sign for the Texans that they were able to get Herbert down as much as he did, because in the Chiefs game, again, the Texans defensive line was winning a lot of one-on-one matchups. They just didn't get Mahomes on the ground.
Yep.
You gotta figure out a way to get him on the ground.
All right, we'll get to headlines. We'll play that cut from Bobby Slowick about Joe Mixon that Seth was talking about. We'll get you up to speed on the injury report. And the Rockets get a big win last night. We'll do some headlines coming up next.